an episode of Off the Bench. You're here with your host Ryan and the sixth man of Dead End Sports, Q. How you doing, Q?
Currently watching Villanova turn the ball over twice against Kansas, but other than that, it's pretty lit. Sorry.
Yeah, right now it's the Oregon game and against Oklahoma still playing right now, or are you watching Kansas right now?
Oregon's currently out of the tournament. I think they just got beat 5 minutes ago. And I think the primetime game is now on, which is Villanova versus number one Kansas. So we're just going to see what happens there.
Oh, my God. Bill Walton was wrong. Wow.
Yeah. The great Bill Walton was very, very wrong because Oregon just basically blew their load last game against Duke. But other than that.
Or is Buddy Hield too good?
You will definitely find out about that, but you won't tell people about that. Go ahead, bro.
Okay. So, first thing we're going to talk about is this NCAA tournament, and what everybody loves to do about during March Madness is look at the potential draft prospects. So, from the teams that made it this far and then those that are necessarily higher prospects but have already been eliminated. I mean, the highest prospect was Brandon Ingram, and he just got eliminated. I think that was the semifinals when they played Oregon?
The round of 16, I think, yeah.
Okay. So, again, I think, to me, between him and Simmons, it's team-dependent, 1A, 1B. Someone can make a case because, honestly, I feel like I make jokes about Ingram's stroke being like he doesn't shoot the ball just leaves his hands and goes in at times. Like, it's really, if the Celtics could get him, that'd be fantastic. But
I feel like we should definitely start there then, because that's the hot topic right now. Is let's start with the top of the draft. Let's start with number one pick.
Okay.
All right, man. You know, when you think about Ben Simmons, you think about his size, being 6'11", being able to bring the ball up the floor the way he does, being able to distribute the way he does, being able to control the pace of the game the way he does, and just have those floor general intangibles that not many are blessed with. In the league today, I can only think of maybe LeBron James and CP3 who can dictate the pace of a game the way that they do and handle the ball the way that Ben Simmons does. So you have him for most of the year being the projected overall lock number one pick. But over the last couple months, Brandon Ingram, he has taken a huge leap, becoming one of probably the, if not the second best, then top three players in this draft. And even though we projected him to be number two from the beginning of the year, he's now starting to take over some of number one spots. And I have my reservations. I have my problems with these think pieces and these, you know, hot takes, I call them a lot. Because there's a lot of hot takes going on. You know, Buddy Hield, if he loses, then everyone's going to say, is Buddy Hield as good as we thought? You know, it's going to be a lot of those. And I like to just deal in just the factual, what we see and what we can project. So when it comes to Brandon Ingram, we see that he has a pretty good stroke. See that he can defend. I think he has that dog in him. I think he has the defensive tendencies of people like a Russell Westbrook. I see that Kawhi Leonard in him. And I think that might be a stretch to some people, but I've seen his footwork improve. And under right tutelage, I see that those kind of comparisons on defense being able to be realized with a guy like Brandon Ingram. He can drive the ball. He can shoot the ball. He can defend. But for me personally, I still would not take him over Ben Simmons. But I guess this is the whole purpose of the discussion, because Ryan might have some different thoughts. It's not just as a clear lock for Ryan as it would be me, being the Sixers fan, him being the Celtics fan. But it's interesting because just months ago we thought Simmons was the lock, and now we're seeing people say, "Not so fast, man. Ingram is nice." So, Ryan, And where do you stand on this? What's your position? Are you just saying this because your team could use that scoring and defense more than they could use the passing and bring the ball to the floor in floor general? Or are you just saying in general, most teams could use that over what Simmons can bring?
I think you have to, like, all of the way I look at the draft is I like to focus it more on team need. Not necessarily like best player goes to like the team who owns the pick. Obviously, some people do it that way as well. But like, well, I think what you said has some truth to it. I do consider what does my team need. So as much as I love Ben Simmons, personally, I don't want him to go one. I'd want him to go two because I want him to get like that type of that snub to like motivate him. Because I've heard like Andrew Bogut say it on Bill Simmons' podcast about like how he's really, really good and there's a lot of potential. I guess he hasn't really shown it all out because that seeing the things that he did with LSU because it was just a terrible environment. Like I make the same case for Boogie Cousins with him in Sacramento. He needs to have a different environment, period, so we could see exactly what he's got in him and hopefully, you know, get that type of fight to try to win or have the offense run through him a little more. But personally, if I'm going for team need, I might want Ingram for the Celtics a bit more because of the scoring potential. Because the passing's not an issue. As great as he can dictate, like you said, the passing for at least the Celtics is not an issue because they're one of the top assisting teams in the league. But a team like maybe the Sixers could probably use him more because he could find those passing and get those assists better. Maybe up the overall ball movement on that team. Maybe a team like the Lakers as well, even though I would not want to see him be there with Byron Scott, it'd probably be better because he would be able to maybe get the ball movement better. So that's why I say you can make a case either or 1A, 1B, Simmons, Ingram, but who's the team that gets the pick?
Okay, so let me ask you this. What would be your case for Brandon Ingram?
To go number one?
To go number one, I'm talking like regardless of team needs. Like, what would be your case for number one? I'm gonna ask you the case for Ben Simmons too. But
the thing that rivals that between the two of them is Simmons's biggest thing is his basketball IQ and his passing ability. The thing that holds Simmons back is his shooting, and for all we know, he may be shooting with the wrong hand as well. There's an article out there about he may be shooting with he may be ambidextrous, but he's not shooting with the hand he's more dominant with, that he tends to focus on more when he does a layup or a dunk, but he passes with he doesn't stick with one hand. I forgot if it's the left or the right. I would have to pull up the article, but if he maybe switch, he can work on his shooting. If he can fix that, then it's the only knock against him, and maybe the competitive edge, it doesn't matter anymore, and then he might be just overall number one, period. But since that's still a factor, it can make it debatable. But for Ingram, the biggest thing for him is his wingspan and his scoring. And he's pretty good on defense right now, at least with the way he's able to cover. I think that's key, because with Simmons, I mean, he fills the stat sheet very, very, like, puts him in those conversations with some certain players. I'd have to look up the stats myself, but you can find them if you look them up, because not many players have put up those type of stat sheets like he did in college as a first-year freshman. But that's why each has its flaws between the two. But your question was basically, what would have to make Ingram the lock number one? Maybe it's his passing. Because his basketball IQ isn't bad by any means, but the thing that separates Simmons and Ingram, or which makes it a debate, is Ben Simmons's IQ, basketball IQ, is definitely it's probably greater than Brandon Ingram right now, and that's why it gives him an edge to like be able to thread the needle or see the play to make the team score or whatever that may be, whereas the offense running through Ingram, he can score, but we don't necessarily see him having to maybe pass as much to make a play. Maybe he's the one that gets the play dictated for him.
So that's why you can have this debate between, oh, do you want Simmons? You want Ingram? What need do you need for your team?
Okay. All right. Well, here, let me give you my observation. Here's my interpretation on the situation. I love Brandon Ingram. I really do like his skill set. I think his defensive ability and his defensive potential is very, very, very good. I think he's very high. His ceiling for defense is high as I don't know what. And I think his ceiling for offense, I think, is a poor man's KD. I think he could be a poor man's KD. I think he could be, and let me bring that down. I think he could be a Rudy Gay type, which isn't terrible. But here's the problem with Rudy Gay is the fact that he doesn't have the IQ. I think to be a Duke guy, you have to have an IQ of some sort. So I think that's completely irrelevant to his situation. So to me, I think he's a very great prospect. But my problem comes in because I just think Ben Simmons' potential is way too high to pass on. I think Ben Simmons is a once-in-a-generation type. Talent. I just see it. I just see, very rarely do I have like these feelings about certain players, but I just have this feeling that Ben Simmons is going to be the guy that everyone's gonna think, like, why did we even think about passing on this guy? Are you kidding me? We were gonna pass, like, I just see it in a 30 for 30, like, we were gonna pass on him for Ingram. And I'm not saying that Ingram won't be great, but I think the difference is Clyde Drexler and Jordan. That's what I think the difference is. I really think that's the big difference, man. The difference is we were going to pass on Jordan for Drexler, or we passed on Jordan for Drexler. Same way, I think we're going to say we passed on Simmons for Ingram. I just think that, let me just break this down. Let me ask you some questions. Who is Brandon Ingram's coach?
Coach K.
Coach K is a top five basketball coach, period. I'm talking high school, middle school, elementary school,
Olympics,
college, NBA, overseas. I'm talking period. He's a top five coaching talent, period. Can get the best out of all of his players. And to me, Duke overachieved this tournament. They should have lost second round. But they made it all the way to the round of the 16. And I think it was the Elite Eight, actually. They made it all the way to the Elite Eight or the round of the 16. I can't really remember, man. There's a lot of teams playing. And they made it to a pretty good round. And they got beat by a better team. But he gets the best out of either mediocre players, or he gets the greatness out of great players. And being able to teach someone like Brandon Ingram helps him. Being able to have secondary scorers, like, to me, another lottery pick in Grayson Allen, helps.
That's a bad
So play. He is – oh, my God, I love Grayson Allen. We're going to talk about him when we talk about Duke. But, like I said, Coach K is a top five – coaching talent, period. To me, I put him there with Jackson. I put him there with Pop. I put him there with Auerbach. He's in that mix. And when you go to LSU, I can't even name the coach's name. That's how atrocious he is. He doesn't even run plays for Simmons. That his supporting cast is not even near, can't even sniff Duke. And, dude, that coaching talent has a lot to do with the potential, has a lot to do with the winning and losing of a team. And I don't think people realize how important coaching is. To be a coach is to be someone, to be the guide, to direct these. Basically, these are fucking babies, dude. These are basketball infants, basically, still. These are basketball infants who need to be guided on the right path. And Brandon Ingram is being guided by a top five talent, in my conjecture, period. And you have Ben Simmons, who's already averaging this double-double without shooting. And he's being guided by one of the worst coaches I've seen coach a talent like that ever. That's like, and here's why I quantify it. Simmons being coached like that and still playing like that, it to me is the same thing as LeBron playing like that, being coached by, what's his name, Mike Brown. You can't coach greatness sometimes, but you can cultivate it. You can guide it. Sometimes you just can't coach it. Like Jackson only put the pieces around Jordan to make him as great as he is. Jordan made everyone else great too. The same way that Simmons can't put the pieces around him to come through for him when he needs it. He can't give you 20 and 20 and then not have guys get rebounds for him when he's boxed out. He can't get 20 and 20 and not have guys hit perimeter shots when they need it to close out games. So instead, you're caught leaving Ben Simmons looking like he's the one who's not performing. He's the one who's not doing so. And he's the one who's not delivering the goods. And you have these think pieces and these hot takes coming out of nowhere saying, oh, man, Brandon Ingram, he looks like he's a much better prospect. Does Ben Simmons have the will to win? And like, to me, that's bullshit. I don't want to hear that about how he doesn't want to win. He wants to win. If he didn't want to win, then he wouldn't be at LSU. Because,
well, hold on.
He was, how do you feel about that?
Well, the thing is, I, a lot of this info I got because of Bill Simmons' podcast. But the thing about it was apparently a lock because I guess he has a family member in LSU and his sister. And this is the whole reason why he's got Clutch Sports as well now, because he's got Rich Paul, which I think is a terrible move. The whole LSU thing, it was kind of like from the get-go, I guess, because of that family member that's in LSU. But it was definitely not the best situation by any means. Didn't help him. But to go against that thing you said about the competitive edge, I just listened to another podcast about Robert Parrish, who is on a Celtics podcast. And he was actually going to quit if he didn't leave from the Warriors to the Celtics to get traded because of all the losing he dealt with. Mm-hmm. If he didn't get traded, like, he was thinking his basketball career was probably going to be short because of all the losing. So it can have an effect like that. Like, you just don't care because it's just shitty. You just get kind of, like, disenchanted from the whole thing. So it can have an impact. Maybe, and that's why I say he needs a different environment to see his true potential.
Okay. So here's why I think that Simmons is still far and away the number one. I just like to add on to everything that I've said. I think that fit and coaching has a lot to do with it, like I said. But even in the NBA, coaching will have a lot to do with it. I think if you go to someone like Brad Stevens or Brett Brown, I think that can help you out a lot. I think that going to someone like, you know, the Rockets coach, or going to someone like, I don't even know the name of the Minnesota coach. He's the
Sam Mitchell,
room coach. I forget all his name because he's Mitchell.
Sam Mitchell.
I think that's terrible, but I think that kills a person's development. I think it kills a person's drive to win when you lose so much. And I know, coming from a Sixers fan, this is very, very ironic. But I think Simmons is the piece that would send all of this tanking to the grave. I think we would start to win immediately. I think we would jump from 10 wins to 23 wins, and then we would continually build upon that. And I just don't think that you can pass upon – I don't think you can pass on that kind of passing, that kind of IQ, because the IQ is so big, man. And it's magic-esque, bro. Like, I just see it, and he just knows the pass to make. He knows that if I bring the ball to the floor and they're pressing me, to not panic. You can't teach that type of stuff. You can't teach the in-the-moment awareness and the on-court presence of mind to know that, hey, when I get down there, I'm gonna fake him left. I'm gonna go right, and I'm gonna hit the open man because that's where he's supposed to be at. I don't think people understand that an IQ can help you shoot. An IQ can help your shooting. When you can take direction from your coach, you have the IQ within everything to have the ability later on to do what you want to do. So to basically what I'm saying is, if you're smart enough to learn certain things in basketball, you're smart enough to learn your deficiencies and overcome them. So Brandon Ingram already having the higher floor in terms of shooting and defense, even though I think Simmons is underrated on defense. I don't think people really realize that he's a very good post defender.
Yeah, that's I think that's another issue, which goes back to the coaching and the effort as well.
Yeah, and you know, here's the thing. I think Ben Simmons got bored. I think he got bored with basketball. I mean, and I don't think it's a thing of, oh, he got bored with basketball, so how is he going to get bored in the NBA? No, I don't think he got bored with basketball, period. I think he got bored with just his coaching. He got bored with his team. The situation was messed up. And he was just like, you know what, why am I going to go hard and give you 45 minutes of everything I have when the team around me isn't going to close out? That's a bad mentality to have for college basketball, but I don't think that's transferring to the NBA. I don't think that when he gets paid millions, and maybe let's give you a scenario, he's playing with people like Joel Embiid, or he's going to play with a guy like D'Angelo Russell he went to high school with, I don't think he's going to quit on those guys. I don't think he's going to quit on someone like Brad Stevens. I don't think he would quit on someone like Andrew Wiggins, Karl Towns, and Zach LaVine. I don't think he would quit on that. I don't think he would quit on Anthony Davis. And I don't think he would quit on people like Devin Booker, because I think he sees that they would want him to be the leader of the team. They would want him to come in automatically and be a part of the team. And they would do their part also. Something that Brandon Ingram already has. Brandon Ingram already has people who did their part. So when they failed, it was a collective failure. But when Simmons failed, a lot of the time, it was not his doing. When you had that overtime game against Oklahoma, this is my closing thoughts. Yeah, when you had the overtime game against Oklahoma, Brandon Ingram, I keep saying his name, Simmons did not touch the ball once at the end of the regulation. So they're like, all right, just let the role players shoot. And I'm like, you have Ben Simmons, coach. Get him on the post and just let him do work. And they just wouldn't. In overtime, same deal. Would not let him closing minutes of overtime win the game for him. Instead, Buddy Hield closed out. Buddy Hield closed out because his coach realized that, hey, my best player on the court is going to make this win. And he did. Hield took over. Simmons should have, but he didn't. Now, whether that's two arguments, the two sides of that argument is, one, the coach didn't help, the coach did not make him take over. Second argument is, he didn't demand the ball like a superstar would. All right, let's calm down there, because he's still 18, 19 years old. He's not Jordan, you know what I'm saying? Even Jordan, when he was in UNC, he wasn't, you know, the superstar, you know, cold-blooded lethal assassin that he is his fifth year in Chicago. That's not what he is. He was just a kid still. Same way Simmons is still a kid. Simmons probably not going to go against his coach. I think his coach is his godfather, I think, if I'm not mistaken. I think that's the reason why he chose LSU, is because his godfather was...
I thought he had an uncle in LSU. It could have been a godfather. I don't know.
I think the coach was his godfather, dude. I really think it was his godfather. So I don't think he wanted to, you know, bitch out his godfather in front of the whole team. Like, I mean, I don't think you want to do that, because then Thanksgiving dinner is very, very messy. It's very weird. And I mean, like, you get a whole bunch of bullshit in your stocking for Christmas from Godfather. So, I mean, I don't think he wanted to alienate his Godfather, dude. I think that goes a lot into the decision to go to LSU and the decision to not really go that hard, because you're like, you know what, forget it. He's I'm going to just let him do what he wants to do and let that be that. So far and away, I still think the passing, the IQ, and the lack of coaching, the lack of help from his bench, and the lack of help from his supporting cast goes a lot into what Ben Simmons' potential is and what he could be.
Yeah.
So I'm going Simmons 1 and Ingram 2.
That's fine. I wouldn't have any problem with that. I think if Simmons doesn't get taken 1, it just depends on who gets the lottery balls and who decides, like, It could change. It just depends, I guess, on what they're valuing too. But to move on down the prospect, so people are probably going to think, oh, they're going to talk about Jamal Murray, Jaylen Brown, and if Chris Dunn, who's the best point guard in the draft, and everybody wants to talk about Buddy. But before we get to those guys, I think the one guy that probably is going to be slept on a lot that you're probably going to want to think about is Dragan Bender. Now, you're not going to probably – unless you've been looking up big boards or looking up draft prospects since months ago, you probably don't know a lot about the guy. He is the youngest player in the draft. He's 18, and he plays in Maccabi Tel Aviv. He's 7'1", who can shoot, move his feet, block shots, and pass, and he's got the mindset that Danny Ainge would love, who's always trying to get better and find out what his deficiencies are. So that's what it makes a very interesting prospect.
He's a power forward, right?
Yes, he's a power forward, and he can play center. So
okay.
He may be slept on.
Okay, I think he is slept on. And I like him. I just don't want him at all.
He wouldn't be good for the Sixers.
He definitely, like, the thing is, though, I don't even want to speak his name into existence for the Sixers. I'm tired of centers and power forwards. And the only reason I want Simmons is because I think that we could either trade both Nerlens and Okafor. We're going to trade Okafor. Or Simmons could play small forward, which I think he will once he develops a shot. But I think that people like Stevens could definitely help him. I think people like I think AD needs to get out of power forward and just go back to center. I think he just needs to go back to center and let people like Dragan Bender play that position, or maybe Bender could play center. Who knows? They could just interswap. So I like Bender from what I've seen of him. He has a nice stroke. From what I've seen, he could shoot a little mid-range. I think he can shoot the three, correct?
Yes, he can.
So he's basically a Porzingis type. So the Knicks should think about trading up for him, even though the...
Well, the thing is, before we go on, the thing about comparing him to Porzingis, I've talked about with other people, is that don't automatically think he's another Porzingis, because the difference between Bender and Porzingis was basketball IQ. Bender's has a higher IQ compared to Porzingis, and he is faster with his feet.
So he's a better Porzingis. And by the way, I think we should just talk about the fact that Porzingis is kind of falling off post All Star break.
The Kurt Rambis effect.
His numbers are just god awful lately. It's been bad. His defense has been bad. It probably is Kurt Rambis, but. Just telling y'all. But anyway, Bender, yeah, I like him. I think him for the Celtics would be good. I can just imagine him throwing. I can just imagine IT throwing lobs to him. Just have him or Smart too.
All right. Some people have this as Brown over Murray. I kind of would switch Murray over Brown personally.
I think Murray's the best point guard in the draft.
He's a shooting guard.
I think he could play point. I don't think he's just going to be a shooting guard his whole career. I think he can play point. I would love him to play point for the Sixers. He can hold the. He can bring the ball off the floor. He has good handle. Right. I think his point guard went all over. I think he's a. Like, I think he's a Curry type.
Well, the thing that I'm reading is that he's not. People are. I've seen written at least on CBS is that he's not the point guard some project him to be, but he's a terrific off guard whose name will translate perfectly to the NBA, and he could be a big scorer in the league for many, many years. So I think maybe he can play point. Maybe he can play both. I think
if he's going to play, it's going to be in a combo guard system where it's going to be him and someone like, you know, the Phoenix system before Bledsoe fell off. But got hurt.
Are you looking at my screen? Because this is what that write-up has him as. Phoenix taking him.
Yeah, I'm not looking at that screen. I just am the couch guy, but that's what I do. It just makes sense for him to be in a combo situation.
Okay.
Yeah, by the way, Villanova is low-key in that ass right now. 23-16, building one upon a lead, getting a lot of steals. Just a little update. I'm a Villanova fan. I've always been. I'm partial to them and VCU, but Villanova is my squad. Go Wildcats. But anyway, when it comes to Jamal Murray, I love his handle. I love his stroke. I love the fact that he can just shoot it. I love shooters, man. I like guys who can just have no fear and they want the ball. And I think Jamal Murray is the guy. I think he also is underrated. I think he's the second best passer behind Simmons in this draft. Hands down. I see him orchestrate a lot of good offense for his team in Kentucky. And, you know, it's just mind blowing, man. Well, but let me get your thoughts on Murray. How do you feel about the way he controls offenses?
A lot, and from what I'm reading here, that they're saying that he's done things that no other Kentucky freshman has done under Calipari, including John Wall, Anthony Davis, Towns, etc., has ever done, and he'll be the latest great one and done star to bounce from Lexington to the lottery. So I like him a lot, especially with the shooting ability. The thing I like about Murray is that basically, is as I was saying before, got a little cut off there. The shooting that he has, I like a lot, and I'm partial to scores for this draft because the Celtics need it. So I would not have an issue if we picked him, even though it is another guard, but he's a proven scorer, so I wouldn't be that upset with it. But I think he probably is the best two guard in the draft. I think when it comes to Jaylen Brown, I think maybe he should stay another year to work on his broken shot, even though his athleticism is fantastic. And I know your boy Chris Dunn is a future Sixer.
Man, I really do love Chris Dunn's game. To me, big body for a point guard. Russell Westbrook, he's not as fast, even as athletic, but he has the body of a Russell Westbrook. He's bigger, too. I think he's 6'5", about 225, and he just dominates point guards in the post, man. It's just amazing to see. I think that Chris Dunn on the Sixers would be a fantastic look. He would have to prove to me that, well, Brett Brown can teach guys how to shoot. I just don't want another Michael Carter Williams type where he's only good, you know, barely on defense. But to me, Dunn has defensive tendencies. He's a very good defensive player. His offensive game, when he's hot, he is hot. When he's on, he's on. Because there are highlights and there's games I've seen of Chris Dunn where he just started pulling up from three and you can't stop him. I'm talking hand and face, fouling everything. And he's making it. And I love his NBA-ready body. I think driving into the paint, not many guards could stop him or even keep up with him because he's faster than a lot of guards are. But being that big, being that mature, and having a college game, I think that he's made a lot of NBA-ready shots too. He's made a lot of NBA-ready drives. And like I said, the NBA-ready body is already an advantage over a lot of 18-year-olds and a lot of 19-year-olds, being 22, I think, 23.
Yeah,
23. Yeah, so it's not that big of a deal to me that he's a junior. Because Buddy Hield is being talked as a lottery too. And I think that we're going to start seeing in the off drafts that a lot more seniors, a lot more juniors get taken when there's not a big haul of freshmen to feast on. So Chris Dunn as a Sixer, I would love it. Just him, Nerlens, and Joel Embiid. Because that would be my big three. Just have me a point guard who can defend, bring the ball up the floor, take it into the paint, and give me two big men who can defend the paint. Yeah, dude, come on. Yeah, so that's all I want. To me, my preference of big board is, number one, I want Simmons. Number two, I would love Jamal Murray. Number three, I like Ingram. Okay. I think people would say that Ingram is too, but just for my preference of what we need.
Or what you need, yeah.
I would love a shooting guard in Murray. I think he could also play point guard too, because we need more point guards on our team. Three, Ingram. To me, Ingram and Murray are very interchangeable. I change them out sometimes, but right now I have Murray at two, just seeing what he's done. Number four, I've done. They're five. I have healed.
We're gonna talk about healed, and for my big board for Celtics needs, I go Ingram 1, Simmons 2, Bender 3, Murray at 4, and healed at. I switch in and out. I'll put healed at 5, Brown at 6. But that's the, in terms of like the thing the team needs the most is, as a lot of the young players on the Celtics are young, they're improving their offense. The best example I give is those that see Marcus Smart and he's struggling right now. Avery Bradley could not shoot a dime in his first year when he was back in 2010. His best thing was defense and backdoor cuts for alley oops. Now he can score. He can be the best 3-and-D on ball defender in the league. But it took time to get there. So as much as that may be, I would like the Celtics to either get someone with some more scoring touch in them already, like a scoring floor.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I kind of ordered it. Like Ingram 1, Simmons, because again, you can fix a broken shot with time. Bender, because of his adaptability. And then Murray, because just be a knockdown shooter. But anyway, so Buddy Hield, some people might want to know about Jacob Poeta. I know I'm probably butchering that. Or Henry Ellenson. Let's put it this way. Those two guys, Poeta and Ellenson, they're definitely solid picks. Who they go to? You better hope whoever the team is, whether it be Denver or Sacramento, they don't go to a place where they become redundant.
I can see Ellison as a Hornet right now.
Be better than Frank the Tank? Or are you just saying that because he's a white guy?
I think MJ loves his big, great footwork having white guys, man. He loves them.
There's a pattern there. But back to Buddy Hield. All right. The thing about Buddy Hield is he has made a narrative for himself, and I love watching him play. But let's be clear. Buddy Hield is probably arguably the best scorer in the draft, and it is a spark plug up for any team.
Do you think he's an NBA 2 or NBA 3?
Are you talking like all team?
Talking about for most teams. I'm not talking about just for those special cases, but for like his natural position, is it an NBA 2 or an NBA 3?
I think he's a 2 guard.
I think so too. I think he's a 2 also.
Because I think in his freshman year, he could probably fulfill a 6-man role.
Yeah. I can see it.
Because he's just got that scoring spark.
I just think he has to go to a team that already has a star in place.
That'd probably be helpful. Like, I got this board having him go to Toronto. And then I have...
Yeah, like, I see him with New Orleans.
And that's the other one I'm looking at, New Orleans, yep.
I think him and AD would do damage. I think Drew Holiday, if he can just get a little healthy, man, just play at least 60-something games. I think that's good enough. I think... Man, don't let the Spurs trade up on him. Let's talk a little more about that. If he slips a little bit, you know what I'm saying? Let's say he has like a really terrible next round, a terrible Final Four game. And if don't let a team like the Spurs trade up for him, dude. Just don't let that happen. I think that would be Dallas. I can see Brooklyn. I'm sorry. What am I talking about? Celtics.
Nope. Actually, wait. Yeah, they're not getting a lottery pick. Nope. But yeah. They do have a later pick.
Yeah, so I think that's in play. I think another team that no one's talking about for him, Denver. I think Denver would be really, really good.
For Buddy?
Buddy.
That probably wouldn't be a terrible thing because that would help them a lot.
No, it would help Moody's assist clip.
That too.
Moutier would help his development. They already have Fareed. They already have Gallinari. They already have Nurkic.
I'd pick Jokic.
They already have Jokic and Nurkic. Like, they have all the Jokic, like the They already have all of those guys. So, I mean, it's fantastic for them if they took him. And another team that I think would definitely take him if they stay in this lottery, Washington.
Oh.
Give you some insurance for Bradley Beal.
Ooh.
Because think about this. Here's what I'm saying. Here's my proposal.
Before you do that, if this is even viable, not right now. Unless Washington starts tanking to anything between 9 and below, then it's not gonna happen. Because actually, they don't have any picks in this lottery. They don't have their 13 or their 43 right now.
It's possible though.
It's possible. They would have to basically. They'd have to tank from basically now.
Yeah, they would. I would love to see that happen. Just for some insurance. Definitely Washington. Toronto would be fantastic. I would hate him to be in Sacramento. I would probably shed a tear for Buddy. Man, I would just hate that, dude. I just would despise that. Also, Orlando. Wouldn't mind that. Would not mind that at all. But they already have Oladipo, but that's the thing. I don't think Oladipo is going to be around much longer.
Side note, Dwight Howard is thinking about re-signing there next season.
Yeah, but here's the thing is, he thinks that he's coming back being some heralded like hero of like, oh, remember the good times, Dwight? No, I don't. No. What good times are you talking about? You're not Kobe Bryant. You can't just, you know, have this farewell tour. No, dude. Like, you can't have this I'm back tour. You ain't LeBron. You ain't come back after winning two championships, Dwight. What in the world are you doing? Sit your ass down somewhere, Dwight. Anyway, no one cares about him. But I can see that for Orlando. And keep your eyes on Miami, too.
For Buddy?
Yeah. Well, have we not seen Pat Riley do what it takes to get free agents to come? And he is always about the future. So I think he's like, yo, D-Wade, man, even though you've been great this year, I think you're going to be great for another two seasons. But it's time to start bringing the future in slowly but surely. And I think a move like moving up for Buddy would definitely happen. Even though they don't have their pick, I think they could make a deal with the Sixers.
They would.
I think the Sixers would definitely take a deal. Like, oh, well, give us Justice and you can get Buddy. You know, I think that'll happen. But, you know.
I mean, they'd have to do some dealing for sure because they have nothing in this lottery.
They don't have a thing, but I think it could happen because Sam Hinkie's always looking to deal. How do you feel about what's his name? How do we feel about people like what is his name? People like Scal Labissiere and where he went wrong.
Hold on, one sec.
I think dude is soft. I think he's soft as baby shit. I don't like anything about him for real. I like his size, but that's it.
He's a red flag. He's a red flag for me.
I don't like him, dude. I think he's soft as shit. I don't see anything about him that makes me think, oh, potential. No, I think he's just soft. I don't think he's built for the NBA.
So, okay, I got a couple possibilities. So I got one draft board at 14. I got another one at 12. Another one at 12. And one at 18. So, the teams associated at 18, it would be Detroit. At 12, it'd be Houston. And again at 12, I see Utah.
Well, I love Dragon Bender in Detroit.
No way they get him.
I know, but I'd love it. Love it. Like, I'm not like the way when I speak about draft, I'm about the time I don't speak realistically. I speak on what would be great to see happen.
The fantasy.
Oh my god, Drummond? What?
family.
That would be some of the greatest shit. That would be revenge for Darko. That would be fucking incredible. I would love that shit, man.
That'd be hilarious.
BZ would love Dragon Bender. Because Drummond wouldn't have to play D for real. Even though he doesn't really play D now, but he really wouldn't have to play defense. He'd be like, fuck this shit. I'm gonna let the Euro take this shit. Like, that's what he would say. Definitely Detroit, man. By the way, healed in Detroit is possible. If they lose a couple games down the stretch, I think they can get within.
If Buddy's not a lottery pick, then yes.
Yeah, I think he's there. But I think Ellison has Detroit written all over him.
Marquette has some great players that come out of there. Jimmy Butler, Jay Crowder.
Yeah, like they have good solid plug-in guys. I think that will work for Detroit. I think just Stan Van Gundy loves those type of players.
I could see it. He'd be especially with perimeter. So he's got average 17, 9, almost 10. Or he almost averaged a double-double and 1.5 blocks in his freshman season at Marquette. And he's got perimeter skills. Yeah,
I see it there. I see him there. I see him in Charlotte. I really do. I think he's a great player. I think he's going to translate well as a plug-in guy. And he's got some defensive skills, too. He's not like a juggernaut, but he's serviceable.
He's definitely probably going to be a little slept on, I think.
Yeah, and I think what's his name, by the way?
Porto? Jakob?
I like him. No, but not him. I'm trying to think of the team I'm talking about. Oh. Do not let the Warriors get their hands on Melo Trimble. I'm telling you right now, they have the next decade locked up if it happens. Because they will have him and Looney's going to start. Bruh, no. Just know.
Here's... I do not see Melo Trimble falling to 30. He's definitely above that. Melo Trimble, I see as low as...
No one saw Justice Winslow falling to 10.
No, nobody saw that.
I'm saying. So shit can happen. Michael Jordan can happen.
Well, here's the thing, though. Again, depending on what happens and who's available, obviously, because they got they have the 30 pick. I see... One board with Golden State picking Grayson Allen at 30.
Oh, no. No.
I don't know how, but...
That can't happen.
Chiek Diallo at another
that
one.
That could happen.
And Pascal Siakam. That's another one.
Grayson Allen is a Sixer. I don't know what they're talking about. Grayson Allen is...
I don't know how they had him fall into...
Getting taken with the 15th pick.
Yeah, I thought he'd be higher. Well, let me check.
Grayson Allen is at least top 15. There's no way. That jump shot is water. That shit is butter.
Yeah, it should be top 20.
But it could happen, dude, because no one saw Porter's falling that far, and now he's one of the best players in this draft.
Well, he's got a lot of promise.
I've seen enough from him to think that he has the potential to be.
Yes.
I guess I'm saying is that I think he's going to go down as one of the top 10 players in this draft.
Right. I agree with that.
I see he's like Carl Anthony Towns, but I think he's going to be that. No. Everyone's like, yo, remember Bobby Portis? I think he's like one of those players.
How do you fall?
Like an Antoine Jameson, or everyone's going to be like, who, Bobby?
How'd we let him fall that far?
Yeah, exactly. He's one of those guys.
Taurean Prince might be a nice piece.
Yeah, I think so.
Some quotables.
I definitely think so. Dude, it's just a matter of Chris Dunn and Murray and Ingram and Simmons. However those four fall, that's what the rest of the draft is going to be like. Because normally when you take someone like Kristaps Porzingis top five, then crazy shit is bound to happen in your draft. But if you just take, you know,
going three.
Yeah, that's fucked up. I'm still fucked up by that shit. That was terrible. I'm still.
Yep.
fucking Lakers. Yeah. It's whatever. They've been fucking us for years. I'm not even mad, though, because...
get Chris done.
Yeah, I'm not even mad, because we get done, or we'll get Murray, and we'll just call it a day. I love those two guys, by the way. I don't think people understand how good Jamal Murray is, because being that Simmons is such a great passer already, I think Murray is right up there with him. I don't think he's that far off in terms of his passing and his IQ. Murray was... I think Murray's Canadian, and he is heralded in his camps in Toronto as being one of the best IQs that a lot of guys have seen. People like Dick Vitale, he's one of the best IQs.
And that's a big attractive part of his game. Him and Denzel Valentine.
Yeah, to me, Valentine. Do not let Denzel Valentine get to Detroit.
Well, he had to fall out of the top 10 then.
I think he can. After that first round performance.
True.
That can happen. It could happen. If Justice Winslow playing as great as he did in the tournament can fall out of the top nine. Come on.
Well, he was nine. But if he can fall out of top six.
Well, basically, yeah.
Yeah, I agree with you. Because, yeah, those guys could be sneaky picks. But to be fair, we're gonna put this out there right now. Out of all these players that we're kind of gushing over, let it be clear, next season's drafts class is much better.
It's going to be a problem. Let me just say this right now so I can be right a year from now. Harry Giles... if he can stay healthy, he's on his second ACL surgery. I think he's 6'11", 6'10", can handle the ball a little bit. Powerful dunker. Just an imposing body. He's like, he's NBA ready body already. And he has imposing size. But he's had two ACL surgeries on the same knee. He's going to Duke, and along with the other one, he's another, I forget what the other guy's name, but it's like a light-skinned kid. I think he's like a shooting guard, about 6'7". He can shoot, too. If they can both play together, Duke has a national championship locked up. If they're playing to their potential, Duke is winning that shit. I don't think Duke will lose a game. Because Giles is that imposing. He's that powerful. If kids like Thon Maker can play in college, then I think that's a problem. But,
and Jason Tatum?
I think Tatum. But we're talking about 2017 now. But I just wanted to put that point out there that if Harry Giles can stay healthy at Duke, he's a problem. But if that knee gives out, knock on wood, God forbid, please don't happen. Because I'd love to see players like him win. I think he's a problem. But back to this year, I think it's important to talk about the coaching scenarios. So,
all right,
who do you think would be the best coach for someone like Ben Simmons?
Stevens. Out of the top five picks, Stevens.
Mm-hmm.
Unless Tom Thibodeau goes to Minnesota.
Okay.
Then we can have a debate.
All right.
But out of everyone you got here, you got Brett Brown would be second on my list. But you got Sixers, Lakers, Suns, Celtics, Wolves. Mike Malone's a good coach.
You know what? Let's give the Wolves some love here, all right? And not some Kevin Love, but like some actual love. can we talk about how that it's possible for them to get?
Don't do it.
It's possible that they'll get Andrew Wiggins, Karl Towns, and Ben Simmons.
Why you gotta do that? Don't do that, man.
Because just the possibility of that.
Oh, no. No, 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 no.
No. If I was a Wolves fan, I would cream. Like, I would just, like, I would just, like, yo. We have
Zach LaVine.
With Zach, who's getting better, you can tell me shit. Fuck off. Like, we have the next 10 years locked.
As soon as the Warriors fall off.
Dude, no. We're coming for that ass soon. Like, no, I'm on your ass, Steph. I promise you. Give us 3 years. We're on. We are on. No, dude, do you, Wolves fans realize the opportunity that they have in front of them? Because it's not impossible that they win this lottery. They have a good chance. They have a really good. Yeah, and you know what? Fuck that. Let's say this. Give me Ingram, Wiggins, and Towns, and LaVine. That's a problem. That's a problem.
Yeah, well, the only problem they'll have left is who coaches.
Shit, you could throw in a monkey with a clipboard and they'll fucking get 20. It doesn't matter. They'll get 30 somewhere.
Well, yes, it does.
Just off raw talent alone, within a couple of years, those guys will be coaching themselves. Andrew Wiggins and we'll be on the sideline calling plays like Bill Russell in his last season. He doesn't care about a coach. Like, it doesn't matter. Like, call Joel Embiid. He ain't got shit to do. Just have him coach. Like, it doesn't matter. But yeah, but seriously, obviously. But, dude, the thing is, I mean, fuck, man. Plug in Jamal Murray. You have LaVine at point guard, Murray at shooting guard, Wiggins small forward, Towns at center, and just plug in fucking Zhang or some shit. I don't know. And you're good. But just the possibility of Simmons or Ingram there fucks me up. Because that is incredible. The Wolves waited and they would have a core. They would have a big four.
Mm-hmm.
They would have a big four. And, like, do we have Zach as a shooting guard or is he a point guard? Because if so, fuck
off. He can do both.
If so, I mean, fuck off. You can just have Chris Dunn be point guard and Zach LaVine shooting guard. And Wiggins a small forward. Plug in some four and then Towns. And you have one of the best defensive lineups. Well, not Zach LaVine. But you have one of the best defensive lineups out there. Trade for a four and you're straight. Shit, I'll give you Jalil Okafor tonight. I don't give a shit. Like, I'll do it. I don't think people understand how much I would love to trade him for somebody.
Oh my god.
It can happen. It can happen, and we need to come to terms with it because I'm bracing myself to not get the number one pick. I'm just bracing by myself.
You tripping.
I'm bracing myself for the Sixers to not get the number one pick. I'm bracing for us to get number three, and I'm just fine with it. I'm not happy about it, but I'm content with the disappointment that could probably happen. But if we get number one, great, fantastic. If we get number two, great, fantastic. But I'm fully prepared to take Chris Dunn or Jamal Murray.
Let me ask you this then. Even though the Lakers are number two in the lotto standings right now, there's still a chance their pick could fall to three. Right?
Mm-hmm.
And then it would convey to you.
I think it has to be fourth to convey.
Oh, let me see.
Because it's top three protected. But it's a good chance that I pull some lottery simulations and I've on the first try I've gotten 1 and 4 a lot. And I've sometimes I've got 3 and 4 a lot. Yeah, okay. So I would not be mad to get 3 and 4.
You're right, 1 through 3. Okay. So it could happen.
No, but it definitely fucking happen. And I hope it does, but I wouldn't be mad because dude,
then next year.
Yeah, next year is definitely what? Come on now. Definitely doing that. But it's just great to think about all these young kids going into the league and just the talent that the Sixers will finally be able to deal with. Then we can really start dealing. Because then we have an idea of what the core will be like if we get those 1 and 4.
Oh, yeah. But you also got Dario coming.
Yeah, Dario is coming in Joel, hopefully.
Guitar got the juice, man.
Yeah, no, the special facilities in Guitar in the Middle East. Yeah, let's just hope that, you know, Joel stays away from, you know, stays away from a lot of whatchamacallits, Shirley Temples. And hopefully he stays away from those freaking got freaking airports, man. Just God bless and rest in peace all those caught up in the Brussels thing. That's awful. By the way, rest in peace to my man Fife Dawg, first and foremost. That's a very shocking loss in the hip hop community today. Well, not today, but 3 days ago. Still tough to deal with that, but just being young and, you know, my mom used to listen to Tribe Called Quest all the time, and Check the Rhyme was one of my favorite songs. And I see a lot of guys in the NBA community paying homage to him. I think Kobe paid homage to him a couple of days ago. I think LeBron talked about him on Instagram. A lot of the different guys in the NBA were talking about Fife Dawg. So definitely rest in peace to him and a lot of the victims in the Brussels thing. But yeah, a sidebar. So,
oh, absolutely. I mean, you on point, Q?
I mean, all the time. all the time. By the way, that Atlanta reporter, that was hilarious.
Dude, that was dope as hell.
That was fantastic. He's like,
I had a big smile on my face, like,
are you on point, Robert? Oh, all the time, Jordan. I'm like, hilarious. But yeah.
That was awesome.
Let me ask you another quick question about this draft, because we're doing some extensive draft talk here. Major draft talk. So let's say the Celtics pick falls to 5.
Okay.
And
who's gone?
All right, who's gone is Simmons, Ingram, Dunn, and let's say Hield. And let's say Hield is gone, but Murray is still on the board, and so is Bender, so is Ellison, so is LaBissiere, so is Allen, a lot of guys, and so is Brown. Who are you going to take and why?
It'd be between Bender and Brown.
Really? Pass up on Jamal Murray.
I would love if they picked Jamal Murray. I do love the scoring. And the only reason why I'd be hesitant is because of the depth we already have. So unless the team does some movement of clearing rosters, we wouldn't be seeing Murray for a little bit. Because the shooting guard depth we have, it's Avery, Evan Turner, RJ Hunter, James Young, who can also play, I think, forward as well. But we have so many guards. That's the problem. So
if we had less depth,
I'd take him.
I think that if you took Murray, then I think Bradley and I think what's his name, Young, are gone.
Maybe Young, but not Bradley.
You don't think so?
I would agree with you on Young. I don't think so, because Danny Ainge loves A.B. Bradley. He thinks he's the best on-ball defender. So does Rajon Rondo. He thinks he's the best on-ball defender in the league, and he's proven that. And he's just been getting better with his offense, and he's been a Celtic since day one, back when, you know, the Big 3 2.0 was there. So I don't – it really would have to be some – big crazy event for him to be.
I mean, well, you all have tied to Al Horford, so I mean, I think he would have to be a piece included in some type of deal there.
If we're talking James Young, I could see that happening more likely, because there's not as big of a connection. But Avery Bradley, you'd have to really get some hell of a deal to pry him, because he's just, there's too much connection, in my opinion, at least.
Okay.
But yeah, as for team need,
that big scoring presence is a big thing. And as well, the reason I said Brown was because our swingman depth is not as big right now, because right now it's between Jay, when Jay Crowder's out, which is a big reason why they went on that losing streak. It's basically got to fill it in with Marcus Smart, who can play forward, or Evan Turner to get the scoring, because James Young isn't quite there yet because he's still 20 years old. So that would be my reason, because swingmen are a lot more valuable in the NBA right now.
Okay. I hear you. I think you all would definitely take Jamal Murray, though, dude. There's something just telling me.
Hey, I wouldn't be mad at it. I wouldn't be mad, because he's good.
I think he's probably the fifth best player in this draft, if not the fourth. But I think Stevens will be able to help Jamal play better defense. I'm not saying Jamal's terrible, because he's definitely not. He's pretty good on defense. He can play. He can press some people up to court. He's good enough. But dude, I'm telling you, Stevens got his hands on him. I think you would have to. I think Bradley would have to get traded. I think he would have to in some type of situation where you got someone like, you know, a Vucevic, or you got someone like Horford, and then you just call that a day.
Well, here's the other thing to keep in mind. Danny Ainge is not trying to get free agents over 30 years old. Al Horford is just on the cusp of that, so that's why he may or may not be in talks.
Yeah, and that's why I never understood that. I just put that out there. I didn't like that for y'all. I don't want that for y'all.
It was due diligence and trying to gauge value, because Danny does a lot of that.
Yeah.
To gauge, okay, what would it be? What would this cost? And he does that for everybody. That's why he's able to sometimes find the swindle.
Yeah, I would not want that for y'all. I would not want Horford for y'all. I think that would be terrible. It just seems like too many weird pieces on that team. Y'all need younger guys.
Anyway, I think he stays in Atlanta anyway.
Y'all need younger guys. If I could pivot,
plenty of that.
If I could pivot quickly to the Sixers.
Okay.
Oh God, man! I just need to think about what they would do if they didn't get Simmons or Ingram. I think that
Chris Dunn.
I think you have to go Dunn or Murray. I think you go Chris Dunn, though.
I think it's Chris Dunn. Personally, period. Point guard is needed. Ish Smith has been great, but you want your long-term answer as well.
To me, I'm going to be so honest here. I don't love Ish Smith. I don't love him. Like, I don't know why Philly fans think he's like the saving grace, because he can throw lobs to Nerlens.
I think that was it.
That was it. That's fucking stupid. That's the dumbest shit I ever heard. Like, I know, dude. Get the fuck out of here with that. He throws lobs, so he's a great player. No. Find any schmuck who can throw a fucking lob and call it a day. To me, I would love TJ McConnell to be my backup point guard for Chris Dunn. I don't need Ish Smith. The fuck? Get out of here with that, dude. Like, no, that shit, no. That's fucking dumb. Like, people, Philly fans, bro, sometimes we be doing stupid ass shit talking about some, oh man, you know, I just love Ish Smith. What's so good about him? Yeah, I mean, besides the fact that he's terrible on defense, he doesn't really have a good jump shot. He throws lobs. What?
But I mean, what the ish?
Nah, dude, that shit is dumb. I like Chris Dunn. I like Jamal Murray. And if we didn't get Simmons or Ingram, I think that's who we go with. And if we don't go with any of them, I think we trade down. But I think that would be completely.
You got 22 and 20. Sorry, you got 122 and 27. I mean, Melo Trimble isn't out of the equation.
Dream scenario.
Okay.
We get Ben Simmons. We trade Jahlil Okafor to the Celtics for a Brooklyn pick. This is a dream scenario. I'm not saying that it's good for anybody. Right. Just dream scenario. So, yeah, Ben Simmons. Trade Jahlil Okafor to the Celtics for him. For the Brooklyn pick, you can give me James Young, and I'll throw in a second round pick. You can have that, and clear up some room for y'all at shooting guard. Then we get the Laker pick at four. We take Jamal Murray or we take Chris Dunn. Plug that in. Yes, indeed. Then at the Miami pick, which probably going to be 18th or 19th, take someone like Grayson Allen. Yes,
indeed. Oh, my God.
Yes,
oh, my God. Indeed.
Then at the OKC pick at like 26, just take someone like a Melo Trimble or a Bentle from Providence and call that a day. And then I proceed to tag Ken, Kyle, Beasy in every tweet talking the meanest shit of my life. Talking about some, I told you fucks. I told you. Let's talk shit now. What's up? What's up, Kyle? Say something. Say something, Kyle. Yeah.
Yo, QAVI gotta be him with a victory cigar lit in his mouth.
Yeah, I'm gonna just be, nah, the only thing that's gonna be lit is me. I'm a, bruh. If that happened.
Right next to a poster of Sam Hinkie.
Yeah, Kyle's mentions will be on fire. I mean, the process is working, Q. I'm all right, watch. Wait just a couple months. If that happened, I'm talking to me this shit. But
this is the season. Yeah. You said it. This is the season that they've been like kind of planning on, I guess.
Definitely. And even if that doesn't happen, dude, just giving me a second dream scenario. So let's run this real quick, then we can go to the Spurs and Warrior talk. During second dream scenario, give me Simmons at one. The Laker pick does not convey, but the Heat and the OKC pick do. So just give me the same players, except subtract Chris Dunn. That's who I'm. That's my second dream scenario. If it could happen, so give me Grayson Allen or Melo Trimble, and I'm straight.
Okay. Dreams, of course, that's a dream scenario.
Yeah, just dream scenarios. What I think is going to happen, I think we trade Jalil on draft night if Joel is healthy, which I think is very good. I think it could really definitely happen. I think we trade Jalil to someone like y'all. I think that happens. I think we take Simmons. I think our front court is going to be Simmons, Noel, Embiid. I think the Laker pick doesn't convey, but I think that Miami, OKC, and the Warriors pick happens. And I think we take someone like a Grayson Allen, someone like a Bentle from Providence, someone like an Ellison, and someone like a Demetrius Jackson from Notre Dame, and we call that a day.
So that's the major draft talk update. Of course, we'll be talking more about that as we get closer to the ping pong ball night.
Yeah, are we gonna do a live ping pong reaction?
Oh man, probably.
I think we should definitely get on that.
I'll have to make sure to get some streams ready. But that'll be I think in May. I think the lottery night's in May. If not, the latest is June. I have to double check. The other thing we also got to do that I said we did in the last episode would be talking about the Spurs Warriors games in the future because they have some future matchups. And long story short, we're not going to go into too much detail about it right now. I'm sure you'll see all these pieces. But the only thing I want to put this out right now is everybody thinks Pop showed his hands to the Warriors. I disagree with that notion. I want to dispel the notion that Pop revealed his hands to Steve Kerr and the Warriors.
He knows exactly what he's doing.
Yes, he knows exactly what he's doing because I want everybody to remember one thing. Bogut, Azili, Iguodala were out. Yes, Pop did a small ball lineup change, but that we don't know if that was because of the injuries to the Warriors. We don't know. That's number one. Number two, the players that did not play. Yes, Tim Duncan played only 8 minutes, but who else didn't play that game? Who played in the first game? Jonathan Simmons. He did not play in this game because he was in the D League. Another thing to keep in mind, Boban Marjanovic.
Yeah, that's huge. Meaning physically.
Uh-huh.
Physically, that's huge. Huge.
Yeah. In the most ridiculous per 36 minutes sense. So, yes, people think – I'll put it this way. I think Pop showed one or two cards because, yes, Boris Diaw was finally used like he was in 2014 in that championship against the Heat. But yeah. I don't think that's their only plan. That'd be ridiculous.
I think it's sad that the Spurs couldn't re-sign Corey Joseph. I think he's a huge I think he's a huge loss for them. But Patty Mills can fill right in, and I think that's what they're going to need to face Steph.
And also, the biggest thing to keep in mind, people, is that the winner of this game is the one who controls the pace and the rebounding. And the Spurs did that this game. The pace was slowed down immensely, and there was not a lot of offensive rebounds. Yes, you can make the case because Bogut was out. But that's the key to the game. I said this months ago, back when they got blown out. Whoever dictates the pace will win the game. And it will be a great 7-game series.
Yes, indeed.
All right. That's going to probably wrap things up for this episode. Like we said, we're going to cover the lottery more when it gets close to lottery night. And then, of course, more NBA talk as it gets a little more relevant. We're probably going to talk more about the East when it gets crunch time, especially the last three games are very determining for the 3-6 matchup.
Yes, indeed. Because, dude, that's going to be insane. I don't know how this is going to finish, but Toronto's right on Cleveland's heels.
It, Ken sleep. He doesn't think Toronto's on Cleveland's heels.
I mean, well, Ken thinks that LeBron James could do no wrong, so...
Well,
it is what it is.
He's called them out. But...
Barely.
Let me put it like this. Cleveland is not a lock, people. This is not the same team from last year. I don't care if their record's better. I said this from day
one. I think it's a problem. The problem is that they're the exact same team from last year.
Did I not say that game one of the season that night?
I said a game one, too. I said I'm not in love with them.
You try to tell them.
And they thought, oh, nah, dude. Never, dude. I'm like, come on, y'all. Like, do y'all not see the players on paper? If J.R. Smith isn't good, then their scoring is done. And they're like, nah, man, J.R. No. Fuck out of here, y'all. I love that they're in sports crew, but they be wilding sometimes when they talk about the Cavaliers, man. They think that LeBron James could just will them to a championship. It's not happening, dude. I'm sorry.
I think that's a little extreme, but...
No, because they just love LeBron. Like, they love LeBron over there, and I love LeBron too. But as a player,
okay.
But no, the team is not good, man. The team sucks.
I agree. And Ken, I agree with Ken. He said the most important thing on Twitter: they play like they're privileged, and that they're like destined to get to the finals again, and that's gonna be the end of them.
Yeah, I'm telling you, D-Way gonna get in that ass. I'm telling you, y'all fuck around.
They fall asleep, they get blown out.
Y'all fuck around, and D-Way gonna be like, oh, y'all think y'all about to win? Watch this shit. Dirty on your ass. I'm telling you.
I'm gonna remind you why you came here in the first place, LeBron.
Exactly. I'm gonna bite the hand that feeds you. I made you. I am my brother's keeper. I'm
gonna play yourself.
He just played himself, like, and Khaled will be courtside to watch him play himself once.
Yo, that'd be the most hype post game.
I know, that'd be amazing. They don't want us to have a bigger ring than LeBron. That'd be funny as on the wood. That'd be fantastic. But yeah,
all right. But also, make sure to follow Dead End Sports on all social media, Twitter. Subscribe to the YouTube channel, youtube.com/Dead End Sports. Tuesday every 9 p.m. And make sure to follow Twitter, like I said, all socials, and make sure to follow Off the Bench at OFFTHABENCH. That is where you'll see the most frequent updates. and when you'll be first notified about when the podcast gets uploaded to Audio Boom. That usually goes up there first before it hits YouTube. And make sure to follow Q. Q, you want to give him that Twitter handle?
Yeah, man. It's Q Got No Rings. Q GOTNORINGS. Q Got No Rings. I ain't got no rings yet. Soon. Coming soon, though.
And then he'll change his handle, man. And make sure to my Twitter handle is RLS003. And congratulations, y'all. You just been played off the bench. Peace, y'all.